If you were watching the NASDAQ last Tuesday, you would have seen the debut of a new stock, trading under the ticker DJT. That's the cutesy listing for Trump Media and Technology Group, the parent company of former President Trump's platform, Truth Social.
And it led to just a huge, huge flurry of trading at first. Like, we are talking like hundreds times the valuation.
My colleague Nitish Pawa has been covering Truth Social for Slate.
You had all these Trump fans on Truth Social itself in these dedicated groups for the new stock, talking about going to the moon, holding on to it, basically talking like your typical Bitcoin guys.
And for a moment, the stock did seem headed for the stars. It opened at 5104, and at one point on that first trading day, shot up to more than $79.
The company behind former President Donald Trump's social media app, Truth Social, has gone public, and it is off to a strong start.
The stock price soared, reportedly powered by supporters looking to invest in the former president's business.
At the stock market open this morning, those shares would be worth nearly $6 billion.
And then all of a sudden, after reaching like a very high valuation, there was a huge fall, after which it ended up stabilizing at about $66 per share.
Despite that fall and a series of subsequent losses over the past week, the IPO has inflated former President Trump's net worth by billions of dollars, at least on paper. But now that the dust is settling on those first trades, things are not looking so rosy. On Tuesday, Securities and Exchange Commission filings from 2023 went public and showed Trump Media is not doing well.
And ever since then, it's kind of wobbled and only fallen further now that we've gotten more insight into how Truth Social's business actually looks, which is not great, in a word.
So today on the show, Truth Social goes public. Trump fans and short sellers rejoice. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around. I think we need to talk a little bit about how this company with the ticker symbol DJT got to trade in the first place. Mm-hmm. So in order to take Trump Media and Technology Group public, and really we're talking about Truth Social here, Trump had to do a few things. Merge his company with a SPAC, a special purpose acquisition company. Can you walk me through that process?
Yeah, absolutely. There were two companies at the heart of this whole thing. There is Trump Media, and there is the SPAC known as Digital World Acquisition Corp., which was a special shell company set up for the purpose of merging with Trump Media and then going public. And basically, the point of the merger was to get a fresh new infusion of money into Trump Media, which was officially the parent company for operating Truth Social. And because Truth Social did not bring in a lot of money on its own, this is the best way for it to get some cash quick.
So you could think of it as one thing with a flashy name but no money merging with another thing with kind of a boring name and a lot of money.
Exactly. And of course, you could have more people taking on private stakes in the SPAC if they so chose, which a lot of Trump fans wanted to do in support of their president.
From a pure loyalty perspective, it makes sense that Trump supporters want to buy into the former president's media company. But from a financial one, not so much. According to recent SEC filings, the Trump Media and Technology Group lost $58 million last year and made only $4.1 million in revenue. How can you look at those numbers and say, oh, this company has a valuation of $7 billion? Like, the math doesn't seem to work.
It definitely does not. And there's a lot of places here where Trump has just kind of been bailed out by loyalists, frankly. I mean, we had a hint as to Truth Social's business troubles last fall, even before the merger officially went through. In fact, the SEC disclosure then said that this company could just fail if the merger doesn't happen.
Huh.
So they really needed that lifeline. But obviously, the merger did end up going through, and you had a lot of right-wing outlets like Breitbart and stuff saying, like, oh, everyone was wrong about Trump Media. It's actually doing fantastic, clearly. And then we get this new filing, which shows us that that is not the case. And as it turns out, The Guardian actually reported literally just today, Wednesday, that Trump Media got held aloft in 2022 by a Russian-American businessman who is currently under a federal probe right now. He just shot a lot of money into the business to make it look good and let that merger go through. And that's basically the entire story of the business of this company.
The company's officers are also a familiar cast of characters, either from the Trump White House or his past campaigns.
You know, you've got people like Devin Nunes, who's CEO of Trump Media. You got Trump advisor Cash Patel on the board. You got Donald Trump Jr. on the board. You know, it's a lot of people who are not going to say no to Trump, who is the largest shareholder here by far and away. He gets these little financial crutches. They help him up, and he manages to get by until they complete the merger. They do this debut. A lot of fans now buying in. There's like millions of shares out there. They're ready to buy it up at a little price and keep pushing it up and hold on to it. And then this SEC filing comes in, and you get a lot of those same people wondering, oh, is it actually going to be worth it?
Well, let's talk about where the revenue for this company is supposed to come from. Like, for just a second, let's back up and treat it like it's any social media company. It's 100% ad-based revenue. So who's advertising on Truth Social?
I'm glad you asked. I have a burner Truth Social account to keep track of news and, of course, these traders. And I could tell you most of the ads I see on there are gold, like gold stocks, IRAs, whatever. At one point, you had a smiling Sean Hannity next to a pile of silver advertising that. You've got the MyPillow guy flaunting the pillows from MyPillow on there, even though he doesn't exactly have a ton of money right now. You have a lot of like pills, you know, like recommended as what the mainstream medical society won't tell you can cure this or that. It's a lot of quack stuff. It's a lot of very ill-advised ads. And that's what this whole thing is basically full of. They're like pixelated, they're grainy, they're clearly low quality and not super lucrative. And I mean, there's no way that Truth Social is about to get any more lucrative advertisers anytime soon.
On paper, do we know how much money taking this company public has made Donald Trump?
On paper, we can say that at the peak of trading, which again occurred last Tuesday, it fetched him at least $3-4 billion, you know, and it put him famously on Bloomberg's list of the richest Americans for the first time ever, which congrats to him, I guess.
Which seems like it would be convenient since Trump is facing mounting legal costs plus an expensive presidential campaign. But getting the money is not that easy.
There are a couple of complicating factors here, one being that yes, he is under a lockup agreement internally negotiated with the company that he is not able to sell any shares for at least 6 months. Now, he could get a waiver from the board, which, you know, I'm sure if he asked, you know, Cash Patel and his own son, if they wanted to give him a waiver, they would probably say yes. That being said, even if he got said waiver, there's a portion, as denoted in last year's SEC disclosures, that shows that he cannot sell more than 1% of total stock per quarter. So even if he were to try, he could not actually sell that much or recoup that much investment. And of course, if he were to sell shares in his own company, that would make a lot of the people propping up the valuation right now, his own fans, very upset. It would probably make the CEO of Trump Media very upset. It would make all those other billionaires who threw money at Trump Media and Digital World very upset, and all the money would go down while we're at it. So, I mean, we are in a classic meme stock hype bubble. It's all just a share in confidence in Trump by the people most apt to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this. The money comes from having Trump attached to this and having Trump involved. And so if he did try to cash out, the stock would tank, the value goes down. It's a particularly weird situation.
There's nothing stable or sustainable about all this, especially since, again, there is no actual business from Truth Social, so to speak. They've burned through all their initial fundraising hauls. They are embroiled in a lot of legal scrambles right now, again, including one right now against a couple of Truth Social's co-founders. Trump and co are trying to like wipe out their stock entirely as well. So they're just burning through cash on maintaining, operating this platform, on the legal costs, and on like just making their own investors happy. And it's not going to work out well.
When we come back, forget the investors. Does Trump himself really value Truth Social? I'm really interested in the everyday investor types. When you are watching what they say to one another, why do they want to be a part of this?
Literally just to support their guy. I mean, this for them is like a crusade for truth almost. It's like, we want to help and support this guy right now. We can't like vote in the polls at this very moment, but we can vote with our wallets. And this is how we show that we love Trump. We're here to support him. And actually, he is a great businessman. And a lot of them are very literally banking on the fact that, you know, he's up in certain polls. You know, there's a chance he could win in November. And should that happen, I mean, the Trump name obviously just goes ballistic in value.
But there were also a lot of speculators who bought in, you know, your sort of like classic pump and dump type. So how do they fit into this picture?
Oh, definitely. You've definitely got your short sellers circling around here, and you've got others who just like looked at what we got here like, oh, hey, here's an already overvalued business, like even right on the merge of on the verge of its merger and going public. And you've got all these very excited folks ready to buy up a ton of stuff. So let me time this where, you know, I've bought into this right now when it's a little cheap. Now that it's going up with this little frenzy in the after hours of immediate markets opening, then I will just dump right then and there on some other sucker who wants to buy some stock and support his president. And I mean, it's smart. A lot of the people who did this made quite a bit of money. And you could see that reflected in the stock charts on Tuesday itself when you started seeing a fall start to gradually shape up. And you saw a lot of investors on these Truth Social groups and elsewhere saying, wait, what's going on now? Like, how's this momentum not going through? You know, a lot of them were banking on the stock hopefully hitting $100 per share. And I mean, it got nowhere near close to that. And clearly after that peak, it's not going to anytime soon.
It's all reminiscent of the meme stock stuff, mm-hmm. AMC, GameStop, whatever. But in that frenzy, investors were, especially investors who were on the Reddit Wall Street Bets, they were kind of sticking it to the man, right? Mm-hmm. And they thought they had a path to make some money. And I guess what I'm trying to figure out here is, do the people who are buying these shares, do they think they're going to make money?
I think some of them are definitely in for that. Like, they're waiting on, you know, potential dividend offerings or again, they're waiting for if a November election, you know, goes Trump's way, then, you know, they can really, really make some cash right now. But I don't think that's the majority of the people who've bought into this. Like, a lot of them are truly just like buying in. They're buying in whatever is available. They are telling themselves and other people to just keep holding on to it as a sign of their confidence. Like, they almost view this as their own personal investment in the man who is Trump.
In Donald Trump.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Which is ultimately what this all comes down to. It's almost just another like reflection of, you know, Trump's very fervent fandom, you could call it.
I guess I want to know, do we have any sense what Trump thinks about this? Like, does he believe in Truth Social? Because if you were to look under the hood, right, the numbers do not look so hot.
No, not at all. And one of the funnier comments I saw from traders was that they were thinking that now Truth Social is, you know, this multi-billion dollar business that, you know, followers and new users are going to flock to Truth Social and drive up Trump's follower count on there, which is way lower than his Twitter following or Facebook following or anywhere else. And I mean, that has not happened. And I think Trump well understands that his following on Truth Social is lower, that his posts just don't get anywhere near the same traction that they used to when he was on Twitter. And not only that, but he's also now, you know, under these gag orders regarding, you know, what he can say about the
because
people
of the various are, investigations,
yes,
and trials.
Exactly. So, and you know, even just going on to Truth Social again, just browsing it, like putting aside, you know, the weird ads and the other kinds of people you'll find on there, just scrolling it, it's just not a very fun or exciting or intuitive platform. It's not the greatest UX on either mobile or desktop. And it still does not have anywhere near much of an overall user base to justify like spending a lot of time scrolling through and engaging with stuff. So there's, I think Trump knows this because obviously he keeps a lot of track of how his statements are spread and received, but he also cannot betray any lack of confidence in his own business here because, again, that's the only thing propping this whole house of cards up. And so if he says, you know, he doesn't love Truth Social and wants to, you know, actually go back to what he loves best, which would be, you know, Twitter screeds, it would mean business ruin for him yet again. And I mean, you could kind of tell his muted enthusiasm, I guess you could call it, but on last Tuesday when he sent out a truth, that's what they call posts on Truth Social, saying in all caps, "I love Truth Social, I love the truth." And then everything else was just like his typical electioneering, you know, crooked prosecutors, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the numbers. Truth Social has, 5 million active users. Its user base has gone down about 39% over the past year. Facebook has 3 billion monthly active users. Like, there's no way that this thing is a viable social network.
No, not at all. And I mean, obviously, you can make the argument that any social network needs some time to find its footing, build up its following and growth. But I mean, even in this, just the 2 years since Truth Social has been an operational social network, it's already lost ad revenue, lost users, lost like active engagement. Like, clearly people don't like hanging out on there. And there's no way to get past that unless he completely overhauls the business. But again, if he tried to do that, he would have to do something that's not just dedicated to him at all times.
Yeah, I feel like we're in the Spider-Man meme where just like different Spider-Mans are pointing fingers at one another because mm-hmm. I don't know how this ends.
Yeah, it is hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of litigation obviously still ongoing, as I mentioned. There's a lot banking on Trump's own like electoral prowess. There's a lot also banking on True Social literally making any money in the next quarter and seeing where investors then land on its business. Because, I mean, yeah, if we get another quarterly disclosure that just shows the business even further tanking, you know, that shows the stock ticker never recovering its highs, then we, like, this is not a viable business. And they've even admitted in the SEC disclosures, like, consistently, we are worried about our ability to meet these liabilities, and interest rates obviously aren't helping.
So where do we leave this then? It's just a gesture? It's a vote of confidence in Donald Trump, or it's just a way of saying, yeah, that's my guy, I'm on this team?
I think it's definitely the latter. It's more just like a place. Truth Social has always been a place for Trump diehards to like come hang out and come get unvarnished Trumpism, as it were. And this whole stock saga is just more reflection of that fact. And it's not going to end well for anybody who like bought up like 1,000-something shares and is hoping that it will. I mean, even if Trump wins in November, like, he's going to have to divest from Trump Media, right? As a public officer. I mean, he obviously has had more than his share of corruption scandals, so who knows whether he would just do that in name or in person. But even so, like, if he's not truly there, if Truth Social did not become like his firm presidential messaging apparatus, then it would continue to flail. And I think you would continue to see it flail even in that scenario, because again, it's not a good platform. It's not very usable. And I think you're also at a time when, in general, there's a bit of like a exhaustion with social media, and especially like rage baiting social media, which is all Truth Social is. Like, this is never, no matter what happens, even if like Trump gets a decisive victory, like, this is never going to be a platform that becomes widely adopted by Americans. It's not the next Twitter or even like the conservative Twitter or anything. It's just, it's just like a shrine.
Nitish Pawa, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Nitish Pawa writes about business and technology for Slate. And that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Patrick Fort, and Anna Phillips. Our show is edited by Paige Osborne. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate. And TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And if you are a fan of what we're doing here, I have a request for you. Join Slate Plus. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. All right, we'll be back on Sunday with another episode. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for listening.